Opportunity to assemble on tonight. We may be fewer in number than we were on this morning, but it is certainly good to see all of the saints who are here on this evening. I understand that many of our saints are out of town. Brother Gibbs is out of town. Brother Worthy is out of town. Brother Myers just left to go out of town. Brother Mosley just went out of town. I'm seeing that there might be a message to me. Maybe I just need to go out of town. Well, we want to pray for those who are traveling, many of our youth, and as was mentioned in the prayer, have gone to making their way to Georgia, and we want to pray for them, that God bless them, and if it were as it has been, I would not be here, but God has seen fit to do something else. And I'm so thankful that my ankles and legs won't be swollen this week due to the bus trip, but we are definitely in prayer for all who have gone to Georgia. Tonight I want to consider Matthew chapter 5, and looking at verses 17 through verse 20. We have definitely had some very powerful messages concerning the purpose, his perfect purpose, from last week and this week. We have launched out into his perfect purpose, and we have been enlightened by the word of God, and we certainly appreciate Brother Myers on this morning, as well as Brother Gary Smith on last week, for their outstanding messages as it relates to his perfect purpose. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 17. Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Tonight, I want us to consider his perfect purpose, fulfilling the law and the prophets. His perfect purpose, fulfilling the law and the prophets. It is safe to say that the Bible reveals many purposes for which Jesus came. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. John 3:16, a most beloved verse, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And verse number 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Matthew records these words of Jesus in Matthew 20 and 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." These purposes are distinct and clear. In my feeble study, I was able to find at least 13 purposes that were related to Jesus' coming. But it is this purpose mentioned by Jesus in Matthew 5, 17 through 20 that has baffled and befuddled many in the religious world, from scholar to follower. These misunderstandings have led to all kinds of religious fallacies and errors. Some misunderstand the day of worship, perform unauthorized practices in worship, because they have failed to realize his purpose was to fulfill the law and the prophets. This message is designed to help us understand what Jesus meant when he said, "Think not that I come to destroy the law and prophets, but to fulfill." It is a statement that follows his profound principles in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and precedes his principles in Matthew 5, 21 through 7, verse 28. And this reveals another one of his perfect purposes. Try saying that five times fast. We want to consider his fulfilling the law and prophets. And I want to suggest to us that only Jesus perfectly fulfills the law and prophets. There is no person past or present who fulfills or can fulfill the law or the prophets. And we ought to thank God that God the Son perfectly completes, satisfies, accomplishes, performs the requirements of the law and the commands of the law. Why is it important that we know that Jesus fulfills the law and prophets? I want to suggest to us at least three scriptural reasons to help us answer that question. It helps us, number one, to understand the mission of Jesus. Secondly, it will help us to understand the purpose of the law and the prophets. And thirdly, it will help us to appreciate the law of Christ. When you look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he clearly defines his purpose. "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law." He says, "Think not." The obvious implication of his saying "think not" was that there were possibly those who were thinking what he was telling them not to think. His previous statements are a trail of blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the meek. And he gives what we have now called the Beatitudes. These Beatitudes had nothing to do with the law or the prophets. There is no thou shalt not in Jesus's previous statements. These Beatitudes may have caused those who heard them to think that Jesus may have been nullifying what they had been previously taught. Jesus had to enlighten and inform their thinking about his true intent and purpose. So he says, I've not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but I've come to fulfill. And I had to ask myself, what does it mean to, or how does one destroy the law? Well, the word destroy means to loose, to unloose what has been bound, to dissolve, to demolish, to throw down. So when one demolishes, throw down, or dissolves the law, then they destroy the law. And see, Jesus says, this is not what I'm trying to do, but I recognize that there are those among you who have been destroying the law. That was the problem of the scribes and Pharisees. They were picking and choosing which laws they were going to follow, and by doing so, they were destroying the law. You remember that Jesus confronted the scribes and Pharisees in Mark chapter 7, verse number 5. You remember that they asked Jesus, why are your disciples transgressing the tradition of the elders by eating bread with unwashed hands? And Jesus had to let them know that it was more than just washed hands that he was concerned about. He said, well, if you're concerned about why my disciples are eating with unwashed hands, then why are you breaking the law and the commandment of God by your tradition? He said to them in verse number 9, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Verse number 8, he says, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold to the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things. How were they breaking it? In verse number 9, how were they setting it aside? How were they laying it aside? How were they rejecting the commandments of God? He said, for Moses said, honor thy father and mother. Whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever ye mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. Verse number 12, he says, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his mother or his father or his mother. In other words, you have freed him from his obligation that God has said that he must fulfill. And he says, what you have done is you've made the word of God of none effect. Through your tradition, you have, which ye have delivered, and many such like things you do. Do ye? In other words, the way you destroy the law, the way you destroy the law is by making it of none effect. How do I make it of none effect? By misinterpreting, misapplication, and disobedience to the command of God. Jesus wanted his followers to know that I'm not about putting God's commandments to the side or making them fit what I want them to fit. He says that I am come to completely satisfy what it is that God has said. That's why Paul warned his young son Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to be careful that we don't destroy the law of God by twisting and making it fit what we want it to fit, rather than as Jesus did when he fulfilled it, doing completely what it commanded. James would warn us not to be many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Every teacher, every preacher ought to be careful, because God is going to hold us accountable at how we deal with the word of Almighty God. It's not a thrilling all the time experience. You got to make sure, I know some of you love teaching, but you got to make sure you rightly dividing the word of God. And Jesus says, my purpose is to fulfill it, to fully satisfy, accomplish, and perform the law and the prophets. And I want you to notice now, in verse number 17 of Matthew 5, he says, I am come. In other words, that is my mission and my mission alone. He did not say that his disciples, that's your mission. Peter, that's not your mission. I have come. He didn't say that that was a Jewish mission, because it's already on record that the Jews could not keep the law of God. It was not a Gentile mission, because it was already established that they weren't even obligated to keep the law. Jesus says, this is my mission. You remember in Acts 15, they had that dispute about Gentile Christians keeping the law and being circumcised. And they came to the council, had those leaders there in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 15 and verse number 5, here is the dispute. It says, there arose up a certain sect of the Pharisees, which believe, saying that it is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, here it is, two things he is saying. They need to circumcise them, and we need to command them to keep the law of Moses. The Bible says in verse number 7 of Acts 15, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? The Jews could not keep the law of God. You couldn't keep it. Why are we going to put that on the neck of the Gentiles? They can't keep it either. Why didn't they have to fulfill it? Because Jesus had already fulfilled it. Why did those Gentiles didn't have to keep the law? Because Christ fulfill the law? Why didn't they have to be circumcised? Because Christ already gave another law of circumcision. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 11 and 12. I don't want to get happy all by myself, but when I start reading what God has done and what Jesus' mission was in that he accomplished and fulfilled the law, I'm so thankful. And I'm so glad, because when I look back at that law, it was too much blood for me to have to shed. You got to get a ram. You got to get a bull. But Christ, with his blood one time, went in and gave another law. Watch what he says. In whom also ye are circumcised. You want to know about circumcision? I'm giving you another circumcision. And it's a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Not Abraham's circumcision, not Moses' circumcision, but Christ's circumcision. What is Christ's circumcision? You got to keep on reading. Buried with him in baptism, where also, I think I'm at a gospel meeting. Y'all already know this stuff. When you are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead, you want your operation? God's got your operation through Christ's circumcision. Oh, thank God that God the Son fulfilled the law. Christ said in verse number 18, he said that the law will endure until all is fulfilled. When all is fulfilled, when all is accomplished, the law and the prophets would pass away. Somebody ought to ask, when was it fulfilled? Y'all just go on home. I have church all by myself. When was it fulfilled? When Christ died, all the work, purposes were complete. The prophecies were fulfilled. You remember that before Christ died, you heard him cry out, "It is finished." Not "I am finished." It is finished. Well, what is it? It is the work of redemption. It is the plan of salvation. It is reconciliation. It is justification. It is sanctification. It is the law. And the prophets are fulfilled. All the work God gave him to do was done. And Jesus says, that's my mission. That's part of my mission. I know you can't do it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it for you. And when I do it for you, you're going to know that it's complete. And you don't have to go around looking for a ram on Sabbath day. You don't have to, because I've already satisfied everything for you. And when I get to that law of Christ, I'm going to be cool just like you all are cool. It helps me to understand the mission of Jesus. But then I also find the purpose of the law and the prophet. Christ fulfilling the law and the prophets help us understand the purpose of the law and the prophets. The law and prophets were given in order that they might be accomplished. It's not just about having an intellectual exercise and you knowing. When God gave the law to the people of Israel, he did not just want them to intellectualize it. He wanted them to perform it. He wanted them to make sure they did whatever he required. So the law is about performance. Watch what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 5. Whoever break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to do them. So Jesus knew that we could not. So when he got up from finishing the work, when all was complete, he came to his disciples in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 27. And the Bible says, and beginning at Moses, that's the law, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Paul asked a theoretical question to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 19. I just want you to see this in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 19. His question is, what is the purpose of the law? He says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. It was added because we had a sin problem. It was added because we kept going over the line and messing up. But it was added because of transgressions now for a limited time till the seed should come. Oh my goodness. Now the law is there because of your transgressions, and it will be there till, it's not a period there, that's a comma, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator, verse number 20, is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. In other words, if you could get right with by doing the law, then the law would have been all right, and you would not have needed a seed. But because you couldn't get right by the law, I gotta send a seed. Well, watch here now. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise, oh, just underscore this, by faith of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, oh, we're going to have to go back there. We were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, and I know I shouldn't be emphasizing this, but when we get to that law of Christ, you can't run by the law of faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Well, you said we will be under the law until the seed come. Then you said when Christ, the schoolmaster, has come, we will no longer, well, when Christ has come, we will no longer be under the schoolmaster. Well, that seed in Galatians 4:4 came in the fullness of time. God sent forth his son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Well, we got to be under the law until the seed comes. When the seed comes, the seed is going to lead us to the law of faith. Jesus Christ is the seed that fulfilled the law and is able to bring us unto faith. Nobody but Jesus and only Jesus. Moses couldn't do it. Joshua and Caleb, although they went into the promised land, they couldn't bring us into eternal rest because they could not do it. Samuel couldn't do it. Saul and David and Solomon, great kings, but they could not bring us into the law of faith. Elijah and Elisha, great prophets, but they just couldn't do it. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel couldn't do it. Hosea, Joel, Amos, and Obadiah couldn't do it. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi couldn't do it. John the Baptist couldn't do it. You and I could not do it. I don't care how many dashikis you wear, phylacteries on your body, capes round your back. You can't do it. I can't do it. So that's why I appreciate so much the law of Christ. Oh, there are some who will say, Christians, y'all don't even have a law. But I beg to differ. Well, I heard the prophet Isaiah say, it shall come to pass in the last days at the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways and we shall walk in his paths. Watch now, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Zion, a law coming out of Zion. I thought the law came out of Sinai in Horeb. You talking about a law coming out of Zion? What kind of law? What kind of law came out of Zion? Gotta be different than the one that was at Horeb. Gotta be different than the one that was on Sinai. This is another, I'm sorry, I'm getting too happy for you all up in here. What is this law? Well, we never heard about a law coming out of Zion until Isaiah started prophesying. Then Jesus told his disciples about a time when a new word would come. A new law was coming to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 24, is this too much Bible for y'all tonight? Luke chapter 24 and verse number 46. He said, thus it behooved Christ to suffer. Oh, that repentance and remission of sin might be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, beginning at Zion. Oh, and you are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. Well, if we want to see when that law comes in, we got to go into Jerusalem. And Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, I know you all know it. This ain't nothing new for you all, but it's something sure is feeling good to me to rehearse it again. Because when I go and look at what happened on Acts, the day of Pentecost, they began to preach. Peter preached the first gospel sermon, and he began to preach repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Not Moses' name, not David's name, not Abraham's name, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm still looking for this law here. It's about repentance and remission of sin. When did they gain repentance and remission of sin? When they completed their faith in baptism. Paul is going to call it the law of faith. Romans chapter 3. Just give me just a few more minutes. Just stick with me just a little while longer. I'm going to be finished where I need to be after a while. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision. How are you going to justify him? By faith. I'm going to justify the uncircumcised by faith. In other words, I got another law. It's the law of faith that tells me faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You tell them about, we got a law. We got a law of faith. Where we are now the children of God by faith. Oh, it's a law that justifies us by faith. It's a law that gives us access by faith. It's a law that says whatsoever is done that is not of faith is sin. I don't need a thou shalt not when I'm operating under the law of faith. We got a new law, and it helps me because I recognize that even when my conscience can convict me. That's what Jesus was trying to get them to see. See, you worried about committing adultery. And I'm telling you, if you think about it, that's the law of faith. Oh, you worried about killing a brother. But I'm telling you, if you angry with a brother. See, the law of faith, the law, there is no thou shalt not look at pornography.
Amen.
Amen. But the law of faith ought to convict you. See, there is no thou shalt not drop it like it's hot. But the law of faith ought to convict your conscience that, brother, see, we need to get up out of here. We can't. The law of faith convicts me all the time. When I got a bad attitude, when I need to have a good attitude, the law of faith slaps me upside the head. You know that you ain't right. It's deeper than what was written on stones. He says, I'm going to write this one in your heart. And Christ says, I know you couldn't keep all those commandments and those laws. So I did it for you. Amen. And when you stand with me, my blood
Amen.
Covers you. Oh, when you were baptized, the precious blood of Jesus washed all of your sins away from the past, the present, and even into the future. Ain't no way. Amen. I'm going to try to keep some Sabbath days.
Amen.
His perfect purpose. Oh, aren't you glad that you got a Savior who fulfills the law and the... There are over 300 prophecies in the Bible related to Jesus. They say it is a statistical impossibility for all of those prophecies to be fulfilled.
Amen.
In one person. They, if they tried to give you the possible number, it's so big that you couldn't even write it. And Jesus says, I fulfilled it all. And all you need to do is obey the law of faith. Believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again for your sins. See, the law of faith blows our mind to think that that's all you have to do is to accept what Jesus did on your behalf. And respond with a mind that says, I've been going the wrong way. And I want to come to Jesus. That's called repentance. And then when you have made up in your mind that I'm going to follow this Jesus who took my place, fulfilled all of the requirements before God. I don't mind saying I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to make a confession when people say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Ought to blurt it out at the time. Yes, I do. When I know what he has done. And then Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. And we got a problem with that. Some of these folk who still hold on to law want to tell you, you really don't believe that just going down in that water. But I got enough faith in what Jesus did and what Jesus said, that if he says, I'll wash him away, then he will wash him. And then based on the law of faith, he says, I'm going to put inside of you my Holy Spirit. Y'all been looking for him. Y'all been singing about, I can feel it.
Amen.
You can't feel him. You can't see him. By faith, you got to believe that God did what he said he was going to do. And I just see the results of living by faith. If you're here, you're not a child of God. You haven't been baptized into Christ. I know this is one a gospel meeting, but we're heading toward a gospel campaign. And we need to get ready. God has fulfilled, Jesus has taken care of all of your needs. Will you come to him? Will you respond in faith? You're a child of God, but you've gotten out of the faith. You're not believing and trusting in Jesus in your life. The blood of Jesus, he says, if we confess our faults, he is faithful and just. In other words, I've got to believe that there is nothing that God cannot forgive me of. That is a tactic of the devil to make you believe you've done something so bad.
Amen.
As a child of God, that God who did something so good for you cannot still do. You're here and you stand subject to the invitation. Won't you come? You got a good God. He is so good. Won't you come to him as we stand, as we sing? Will you come?